And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Hope you all are having a tremendous day today. I hope that you're feeling blessed and highly favored of God. And thank you all for listening. Thank you for supporting and praying for our radio network here, American Family Radio. We really do appreciate it. Can't thank you enough. And thank you also for your prayers for the folks down in Nashville. The count now is at 24 dead. We don't have a count on how many might have been injured, but a lot of property destruction. So we're still praying for the folks down in Nashville. I was looking at my station lineup. We've got a lot of stations that are in Tennessee. Not sure which ones are closest to Nashville, but I believe Nashville is also in our listening area. But I want you to know we're praying for you folks in Tennessee. And by the way, you Tennessee folks who are listening, please give me a call today if you have a chance and just report on what's going on. How are the people feeling? How are things going? You know, we Americans are very, very resilient, and we bounce back. We rebuild. We do what needs to be done in the face of tragedies like this. We don't give up. But that doesn't mean it's not painful. Doesn't mean it's not difficult. Doesn't mean you don't need the prayers and support of other Americans all over this country. So, Tennessee, we haven't forgotten you. We're praying for you. Folks, I want to remind you that you are listening to The Awakening. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. And yesterday, of course, was Super Tuesday, and the results are in. Isn't this fascinating? The results are in. Joe Biden has overtaken Bernie Sanders and is leading him not by very many delegates. I'll give you the exact count in a second. Not by very many, but he is leading him in the delegate count now. And it's still not possible to call who's going to win the nomination, but the conventional wisdom that it was definitely going to be Bernie Sanders because he was on a roll that wouldn't likely be stopped has now been called into question because the establishment of the Democrat Party is now trying to stop Bernie. They've got to stop Bernie. And, you know, I find this fascinating. I really do, because it is not as if Bernie Sanders represents some foreign element in the Democrat Party. He is, and I know he doesn't call himself a Democrat. He calls himself a Democrat socialist, and he obviously caucuses with the Democrat Party, not with the Republicans. So he associates himself with the Democrat Party, and I think the Democratic Socialists of America do associate themselves with it. I mean, that's how they align themselves, of course. But this hue and cry, this consternation, this anxiety over nominating Bernie Sanders is I think very, very interesting because, folks, he represents the way the party thinks today. Do you remember during a debate, one of the craziest, the stupidest, most suicidal ideas that I've ever heard, which was the moderator asked all the Democrat candidates, all of them who were on the stage at that time, how many of you support providing medical care to illegal immigrants? Every single one of them raised their hands. Every single one. In other words, including, we're not just talking about, of course, if somebody who's an illegal immigrant gets injured, they get hit by a car, something bad happens to them, of course, I think all of us would say, look, they go to the emergency room. They should get, they're human beings. They should get the care that they need. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about having our national health care cover illegal immigrants the same way it covers American citizens. Every single one of them agreed with it. every single one. And I tell you what this speaks to, folks. It speaks to the idea that they are internationalists, that they really don't believe very much in our in America, frankly. I don't think that's going too far to say that. I think they believe in the international community. I think that's why borders don't really matter to them. It's sort of the Marxist mantra, workers of the world unite, and we're all the same. And what difference does it make? Well, it makes a big difference, because if we have no borders, we have no sovereignty. If we have no sovereignty, we're not a country. But every single one of them went for it, Joe Biden included. It is not as if Joe Biden is some kind of moderate, although he masquerades as one during this campaign. And Bernie Sanders is a flaming radical, although he is all of that. Here's the distinction I will continue to make. Here's the problem. Bernie Sanders has come out of the closet, and they simply aren't ready to do so. That's all there is to this. He's come out of the closet as a socialist, a Marxist, a communist. They all share his ideas, mind you. They all share his ideas. They all tax us until we wouldn't have a dime left. They'd all do that. They'd all pay for college tuition for free and would absolve everybody of their debt. They'd all do that. They would all, frankly, in my view, they'd all just open the borders and just let people flood in. Because for all practical purposes, they have no program, no policies whatsoever to stop that. And every time any attempt is made to stop it, they just basically go along with it. I think they would all go along with a guaranteed income if they were pushed. I think they're just not ready to announce themselves. They think it's too early. They haven't yet brainwashed enough of the American people. 67% say they don't want a socialist government. And so they haven't brainwashed enough of the American people to come out of the closet. But as soon as they brainwashed enough of the American people to come out of the closet, they probably all announced that they're socialists. I'm serious, folks. I think they would, in the right circumstance, given the right indoctrination over enough time, I think they'd all proudly say, well, of course I'm a socialist because I care. I care about people. So this charade that is going on right now, of everybody rallying behind Joe Biden as the moderate in the race because Bernie Sanders is too radical, is just that. It's a charade. It's another gross deception that is being foisted on the American people to convince us that there is some distinction, when in fact the distinction is strictly procedural. Bernie, you came out of the closet too soon. You should have waited. And now that you're within striking distance of the nomination, we've got to kill your political career, because after all, we're not ready. The American people aren't ready. And it would destroy the Democrat Party if we became identified with socialism in that overt way. Now, folks, I believe that's all that is happening here. Because there's not a dime's worth of difference. In fact, and you know what this reminds me of? Do you remember when Barack Obama announced that he was struggling, he was wrestling with the issue of gay marriage? His words, not mine. To me, it's homosexuality, because there's no such thing as a so-called gay marriage. It doesn't exist. It's a fiction created in the wicked, twisted mind of some people. It doesn't exist. Oh, and in fact, created in the wicked, twisted mind of even some Supreme Court justices. But that's, you know, that's how we ended up with this mess on our hands that we've got. But I'll tell you about Joe Biden coming out about homosexual marriage. Stand by.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
In a recent presidential debate, Senator Bernie Sanders defended his candidacy by proclaiming that he was trying to give a voice to people who, after 45 years of work, are not making a nickel more than they did 45 years ago. It was a powerful statement, but it deserves more scrutiny. Let's begin by acknowledging that the graphs of wage growth since 1975 are essentially flat when adjusted for inflation. There's more to the story, though, but let's concede the point for a moment. Before Donald Trump took office, we had three Democrat presidents and two Republican presidents. If they couldn't make wages grow, why should we think Bernie Sanders can accomplish what they could not? To borrow from a previous president, what magic wand do you have? Now, David Harsanyi reminds us in a recent column that politicians who talk about wage stagnation fail to take into account the health care benefits, pensions, vacations, family leave, and other perks now embedded in job packages. If you add those benefits, he says, wages have increased 45% since 1964. Consider two other issues being debated during the presidential campaign. Education and healthcare. When Bernie Sanders graduated from college, less than 6% of his fellow Americans were enrolled in higher education. 45 years ago, that percentage was only around 11%. Today, two-thirds of millennials have at least an associate degree. David Harsanyi also argues that the heart attack Bernie Sanders suffered last year would have killed a 78-year-old man back in 1975. If not, it would have required dangerous surgery. America's healthcare system has improved dramatically over the last 45 years, which explains why it is more expensive. It costs more to save more lives. During this campaign season, we'll be hearing lots of campaign slogans and one-liners. It's worth checking them out. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, is any progress being made in cloning attempts?
Chris, there is a lot of work in cloning going on these days, but all is not so rosy in clone land. Often when clones are born, they exhibit diseases which normally are restricted to older specimens. For instance, Dolly the sheep, the first mammal cloned, died of old age about the same time as her mother died of old age. Recently, four cloned pigs all died of old age-related diseases within 6 months of being born. This should make us stop and think before cloning humans. Are we going to have elderly babies? It's not really known yet. There are a lot of good reasons not to go ahead with human cloning. This is just one of them. It's best to go back to Genesis and recognize that humans are created in the image of God and therefore deserve protection.
Visit our website at www.icr.org.
Brian Fisher here. The desperate Talking Snake media deifies Joe Biden, but regressives sound the alarm. Bloomberg spent $500 million on his campaign. We'll tell you what he got for his money. We'll talk about the impact of illegal aliens on the primary. It's time to get over coronavirus hysteria. And Trump continues to make progress on the wall. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. So now you all know that the establishment, so-called, in the Democrat Party is suddenly rallying to Joe Biden's side. In fact, and Joe Biden, of course, is doing some things to try to bolster their confidence in him, like he went out and he memorized the line in the Declaration of Independence that he had flubbed before. So he said it a couple times since then. Somebody went back and said, "Sir, have you ever read this?" He probably said, "No, I've never read it. I've heard about it, but I've never read it." And so they probably read it to him 15, 20, 30 times. And finally, he got it, and he's been able to say it on stage ever since. But Klobuchar has endorsed him. Buttigieg has endorsed him. And Bloomberg has endorsed him. So he's now got those three, and I think I told you all yesterday that the congressman in my congressional district did a robocall. I picked up the phone, and there's my congressman, who happens to be a Democrat, saying, "I'm endorsing Joe Biden, and we've got to get off the polls and vote for Joe Biden." Now, the district I live in is the 3rd District of Virginia. It happens to have Bobby Scott as its congressman. And you all please pray for me, okay? That's all I can say. Just please pray for me. This is the guy who led the battle to keep from putting In God We Trust on the wall of the Capitol Visitor Center. I mean, we built that Visitor Center, maybe about 5 years ago now, maybe a little longer. Well, he was a champion opposing putting it on, because his theory was we can't put in God We Trust on the walls of the Capitol Visitor Center because people will be insulted, which just goes to show that the man is wholly owned by the secular left, because he goes out and campaigns in churches all over the district, and people, frankly, ignorantly vote for him, not knowing that the man is an enemy of the cross. He is an enemy of God. He is an enemy of Jesus Christ. Yes, I said it and I mean it. And he's running around supporting every abortion policy that would help kill more babies. He supports the whole homosexual movement. The last thing in the world the black community needs is more destruction of the family, more attacks on the family. And that's all this whole homosexual movement amounts to. It is a virulent, violent attack. You know what? It is the I might get in trouble for this one, but this is right off the presses. It is the homo virus for the family. Now, and of course I'm speaking about spiritual, from a spiritual and psychological perspective, okay? I'm not talking about a physical illness. I'm not talking about AIDS. I'm talking about introducing this element into a community that already has a profound difficulty in family formation and maintenance and the absence of fathers, and introducing this new element now into the community that says, well, guess what? There's no males or females. There's no husbands or wives. Heterosexuality is not, that's not required. That's not important. Mother, father in the home, that's not important. Who told you that? Don't listen to that silly stuff. Two men is okay. Two women are okay. And they don't even have to be married. What difference does that make? That's the last stuff you need in a community that is beset by gangs and drugs and violence, much of which can be traced back to the absence of fathers in the home. And now we want to introduce another destabilizing element, which is all the stuff you thought you knew about what a family is and all the stuff you thought you knew about what marriage is. That's all wrong. And in fact, not only is it wrong, but you're a bigot to believe that. You are a bigot to believe that. You got to come into the 21st century. Reject the Bible. That's a bunch of lies. Don't believe that stupid stuff. This God of the Bible who says created male and female. That's ignore that. And so, folks, I hope that no one misunderstands my little creative putting together of two things, because, you know, we're talking about this coronavirus. But out here again, I'm not talking about physical illness. I'm not talking about pronouncing any physical curses on people. I feel the need to explain myself here. I'm talking about the spiritual and psychological element that is introduced into a community that is already having major problems with family formation and family maintenance and rearing of children. And now you want to throw this garbage into the mix as well, as if that's what's needed. And frankly, Bobby Scott, who is my congressman here in the 3rd District in Virginia, he supports all that stuff and then goes around and campaigns at churches. Yeah, vote for me, pastors. Vote for me, Christians. I'm your champion. I'll see to it that nobody believes in God by the time I get done. If you just be, you know, just vote for me. And people do it. People do it because they don't. And most of the time, it's not out of venality. It's out of ignorance. They just don't know, because he doesn't go into the church and say, hey, guess what, everybody? I'm the guy who opposed putting in God We Trust on the Capitol Visitor Center because I don't want to offend anybody with that God stuff. Oh, no, he goes in the church and says, oh, you all pray for me. I'm just a humble servant of the Lord. Oh man. Oh, boy. So at any rate, I got off on that riff because I got a call, a robocall from him saying he was endorsing Bernie Sanders. So they're all rallying behind Bernie Sanders. So Here's the present count. They need 1,990 delegates to win the nomination. At this point, Joe Biden has 497 and Bernie Sanders has 395. Joe Biden has 12.4% or 12.5% approximately, thereabouts, rounding off by a tenth. 12.5% of the delegates he needs, and Bernie Sanders has 10%. So they're only 2% apart, about 2.5% apart. Who knows how this is all going to work out, but it does appear that there is now a concerted effort to stop Bernie. And I'll tell you what, if they manage to do that, folks, just give it time. Give it time. And believe me, they will all begin to come out of the closet. The Democrat Party will show itself. I mean, it's clear already that it's a socialist party. It's clear already because of the things that they believe in and the things that they advance and the things, you know, here again, Pete Buttigieg, Amy Klobuchar, these folks, Elizabeth Warren, these folks have been mentored by far left people. They come out of that background. And the fact that they don't call themselves socialists doesn't mean a thing. If a rose by any other name would smell as sweet, then a skunk by any other name will still stink. So you can call it what you want to call it. Call it democratic socialism, as one of my callers said. That's an oxymoron, because socialism is by definition not democratic. It is by definition authoritarian. But of course, that's a little spin they put on it to get people to believe in it and accept it. So, but that's where we are right now. Now, here's the element of this, since I talked about Congressman Bobby Scott, and if anybody who's in our area in his district is listening, and of course they have him come on my radio program, he is certainly welcome to do that, and he can maybe he can disabuse me of these notions that I have about the things that he has done. The black community has been the salvation of Joe Biden, black voters. Look, folks, he got in South Carolina, he got, I think it's 91% of the vote. Or that might be a little bit high, because I'm going from memory. Let me see if I can find that in my notes. But it wasn't even close. I mean, it wasn't even close. Overwhelmingly, the black vote went to Joe Biden and not to Bernie Sanders. Now, how can one explain that? How does that work? I mean, why? You know, I could see the vote splitting. I could see, you know, him winning, but the margins by which he won are overwhelming. In fact, you know what? Let me pull up those exact numbers. Why? What do you all think? Because this is one of the problems that I have with the way the left has shaped politics in the black community. When I did some reading today to try to figure out, okay, well, what is this? What is this relationship that they have with Joe Biden? What's going on here? I mean, because he won overwhelmingly. Let's see if I can get the numbers here, because here again, the numbers are quite staggering. And I thought, so how does one explain that? So I started reading. Well, you know, obviously Joe Biden has done something. Now the only things I remember Joe Biden doing is talking about Obama being, you know, a different kind of black. He's clean and he speaks well, you know, all this kind of nonsense. I remember that. But clearly that's not what's winning in the black vote. What is? We'll be back in a moment to talk about that.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
A little girl listened intently as a missionary from Rhodesia was speaking to her church Sunday school class in Decatur, Alabama. The missionary was telling the class of the various needs which black Rhodesians have. Approximately $125 will send a black Rhodesian student to college for 1 year, the missionary said. And unless the black Rhodesian has a college education, they cannot vote. What the missionary said was of great interest to Ladell McWhorter. After the class was over, Ladell talked to her younger sister about the missionary's remarks. Ladell was in the sixth grade, and her sister Lou Ann was in the fourth grade. The girls discussed the situation and planned their course of action. For the next few months, they saved their allowance. They saved some of their lunch money. They cut grass. They collected soft drink bottles and did other odd jobs to earn money. The parents of the young girl soon became concerned about their actions. They knew that the girls were saving their money, but they had no idea why. Ladell and Lou Ann told no one, not even their parents, what they had planned. It was their personal secret. They had a goal toward which they were working. Nearly 7 months after the missionary had spoken to the church school class, the two girls counted their money. They had a total of $125.57 saved. It had taken a lot of effort, a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice, and a lot of love, but they had reached their goal. Ladell and Lou Ann put their money in an envelope and headed off toward their church building. They wanted to see their minister. They had a secret they wished to share. The girls told their minister that they had been saving their money to send a black Rhodesian to college for a year. The girls asked their minister, Reverend Herb Williamson, if he would explain the situation to their parents. The following Sunday morning at the close of the service, the minister called Ladell and Lou Ann to the front along with their parents. The girls and their parents came forward. The parents were not sure why the minister had made such a request. But as they stood before the congregation of Wesley United Methodist Church, they listened as the minister dedicated the money to the education of a black Rhodesian college student. This was the first knowledge that Mr. and Ms. McWhorter had of their daughter's project. The minister later wrote that this was the greatest sermon this church has ever seen. Somewhere in the good book it says, and I quote, "And a little child shall lead them." Ladell and Lou Ann McWhorter are living examples of the validity of that statement.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
We're back. And Joe Biden got 71% of the black vote in South Carolina. 71%. And Bernie Sanders got 16%. And then there were a few votes here and there that went to others. But that's not even... Folks, a blowout doesn't even begin to say it. I mean, that is a crushing defeat. And here again, 7 out of every 10 black voters who went to the polls voted for Joe Biden. And I wondered, why? What has he ever done? I'm hoping that there might be some people listening from South Carolina. We do have listeners in South Carolina that would call me and tell me or that black voters who know him might call me and tell me what you think, or any of you for that matter might call me and tell me what you think. I'd be particularly curious to hear from somebody who voted for him to tell me what you think and why you voted for him. Because I did research and looked to find out, okay, well, what is maybe, you know, maybe Joe Biden is responsible for something that he's accomplished, something that he's done that everybody sort of knows about and they're using to sell him. I couldn't find a thing. I couldn't find a thing. You know what I found, folks? And this is a sad commentary, but I think it's really what the left has done to manipulate black voters. You know what I found? Well, you know, he shows up at the barbershop. He speaks to everybody, even the wait staff. And nothing wrong with that. I mean, but that's what your political devotion is based on? And I read statements like, he gets it. Joe Biden gets it. He gets it. And all I got was a lot of, he eats at our restaurants. He shows up. And here again, there's nothing wrong with that. But is that really the basis for this kind, that what I just described to you, that kind of overwhelming loyalty? I couldn't find a single substantive thing that somebody can point to say, or somebody pointed to say, well, you know, Joe Biden did this. And they're running around calling President Trump a racist, but President Trump not only gave permanent support. My understanding is he's now enshrined support for historically black colleges and universities. And folks, understand something. I don't like segregation in any form whatsoever. I don't like it. I think it's not the best future for our country. However, I think these historically black colleges are important because, to me, they are a reminder of a time when black folks couldn't go to other universities, and with the help of other citizens, they built their own. And I think that that's to me, that's a commentary that's on how things work in America. You know, and I think that's what every group in this country has done. You know, the Jewish people did it. The Irish people did it. You shut me out. We have the freedom to build our own, to start our own, to do our own thing. And I think that's a lesson we should never forget. I think it's a lesson for every one of us as individuals. We're not people who should ever be found to go around whining about what others won't do for us. We'll do for ourselves. And I think that's an important historic lesson. I won't go into the politics of historically black colleges and universities because, frankly, from my perspective, the black community hasn't done enough to support these kinds of institutions. And it really shouldn't, in my view, shouldn't even be necessary for the government to do anything to support these institutions. But nevertheless, I said shouldn't be necessary for it. But I'm not going to criticize the president for having done something to preserve these truly historic institutions, born out of very difficult circumstances to try to educate people who wanted education and couldn't get into other schools because they were barred for the most part. Well, President Trump did that. Joe Biden didn't. President Obama didn't. But President Trump's a racist, and Joe Biden deserves all the support. I mean, there is a certain incongruity there that is really hard to explain other than the left indoctrinating people with the notion that the Democrat Party is their savior. That's the only way you can explain that. And of course, with Joe Biden, and folks, this is difficult to say. I'm having some moments on the program saying things that are difficult to say. They have created a situation in which mere symbolism and emotional connection are enough to buy undying loyalty without having to do anything substantive to improve people's lives. Now, that's just the truth, folks. That's just the truth. Do you know that support for John Kennedy grew exponentially in the black community when he was running against Richard Nixon? Not because John Kennedy was a proponent of the civil rights movement. He was not. In fact, he was leery of it because he thought it would hurt him in the South. And he didn't have any particular affection for black rights or civil rights. To him, it was a problem that he didn't want to deal with. And his brother, Bobby, convinced him to call Coretta Scott King while Martin Luther King was in jail. And that gesture had a dramatic impact on the black vote. That gesture. And here again, I'm not saying there was something wrong with him calling Coretta Scott King. I just think there's something wrong with people allowing themselves to be moved and manipulated by these empty gestures, because that's what they are. They're just empty gestures. We're talking about politics and policy, not you showed up at the barbershop. I mean, and folks, so somebody like me who says to the black community, you're gifted, you're capable, God has blessed you, you have all the intelligence and ability that anybody else has, you need to make something of yourself. You need to do something with your life. You need to ignore all of these cries of racism and they won't stop you and white supremacy. And you just need to simply determine who you are, what you want to be, and then go after it. Oh, you're a sellout. You're a sellout. In fact, you know what I've had told me to me by making the argument of saying to people, you are not handicapped. You are not an affirmative action baby. You need to compete on the same level as everybody else because you are fully capable, unless you allow these liberals to convince you that you aren't and to show you that you need them as a crutch to help you because you don't quite measure up like other people do. And I had a guy tell me, you know what? I'm serious, folks. I'm quoting. And you know when I was told this? This was years ago. You know, I've been at this stuff a while. I was a guest on Jesse Jackson's program. Remember when he had his TV program? I was a guest on Jesse Jackson's program, bringing a conservative perspective, and he had another leftist on there to argue with me. And the guy looked at me and said, you know what? You're letting white folks off the hook. Folks, that's exactly what he said. And I looked at him and said, we don't need to have anybody on the hook. What this is about is human progress, not political demagoguery and manipulation and trying to keep people back on their heels, guilty and defensive. Because that's all that's about. That doesn't improve the life of a single individual. Which is why one of my heroes is Booker T. Washington and not W.E.B. Du Bois, because W.E.B. Du Bois got so far into leftist thinking and politics while he was one of the founders of the NAACP that he ended up, I forget which country he ended up in, but he ended up a communist. Yep, W.E.B. Du Bois, one of the heroes of civil rights, ended up as a communist. He completely lost himself. Because he took on the victim mentality so much, instead of celebrating the great success he had had as being one of the first persons, I think was the first person, to get a PhD from Harvard, instead he let himself just think, act, and behave like a victim, and he ended up a communist. Booker T. Washington ended up building Tuskegee University. See the difference? Back in a moment.
Well, in a world where everybody wants to be liked, I think a lot of us, you know, we're going for attention in wrong ways.
Jonathan McKee on Focus on the Family Minute.
This is one of those things where young people, again, we can get so caught up in our identity and how many actual likes we have on Instagram or whatever. And our identity as a believer is in Christ. And it's so neat, the more we get to know Jesus and the more we get to know how much he values us and wants to get to know us, that is such a comfort to young people. And then there's many other ways we get into in the book, such as serving and this and that, because it's amazing when you start serving and seeing sometimes where other people are in need and the difference that you can make in someone else's life. Man, there is no greater boost to self-esteem when God is using you to impact others.
More from Jonathan at FamilyMinute.org.
Blind Eyes Open is a documentary that is made for the church to bring awareness about sex trafficking.
Ann Reed, staff writer for the AFA Journal.
The priority is to get it into the hands of the body of Christ in order that our eyes will be opened and that we can make a difference. If you are interested in having Blind Eyes Open show in your church, you can go to the website, blindeyesopened.com, and it is available through April 24th.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813. That's 1-800-788-1813.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, I've got to get to your calls, and I see you all are calling before I even gave the number, and I appreciate that because I was kind of getting off on that one, you know, and really, W.E.B. Du Bois died in Ghana. He had become a socialist and then a communist. That's where it took him. Booker T. Washington, on the other hand, built one of the great technical institutes. In fact, the pilots who fought in World War II so valiantly, the Tuskegee Airmen trained in Booker T. Washington's Institute. See the difference between the person who says, it's up to you to take personal responsibility for your own life and destiny and to deal with whatever obstacles come, to overcome them, but to whine and moan about what other people are doing or what other people think about you and all of that, and to make yourself a victim, and leads to exactly how W.E.B. Du Bois died. He died as a broken, disenchanted communist in a foreign country. Now, here again, man was brilliant. I'm not going to take that away from him. He was brilliant, but he was spiritually empty, and he allowed victimology to take over his life, and his life therefore ended, in my view, very unfulfilled. Again, the number is 888-589-8840. Thank you all for your patience. Let's go right to your calls. Let's get to Jesse in Texas. Jesse, welcome.
Yes, sir. I just had a question for you about an idea that I had that I think would probably happen if we didn't win the next election, if Sleepy Joe won it. I don't believe, and this is just my opinion, I don't believe that he would actually run his own administration. They would probably appoint somebody like Hillary Clinton to basically run his administration for him and just use him as a face to basically get her into power. And if she was to do that and get enough of a rally behind her, you know, if they reelect Joe Biden and keep doing the same thing the next time, and then when his term is up, maybe she runs on her own and gets elected and reelected again, we'd have 12 years of Hillary Clinton or something like that. And I wanted to see what you thought about that.
Well, I can tell you one thing, Jesse, you're giving me nightmares. you're giving me nightmares to think about that scenario, 12 years of Hillary Clinton. My goodness gracious. You know, look, I don't know what the Democrat elites think of Hillary Clinton right now. Generally speaking, when a person keeps them from getting into power, they can have a little bit of resentment against that person, and they probably blame Hillary Clinton to some extent because she was such a terrible candidate. But so whether she has the chops at this point to get into the administration in the way that she probably would like to, by the way. I don't know. I just don't know. But that's an interesting train of thought there, and not a very happy one, Jesse. Thanks. So let's go to Norman in Texas. Norman, welcome.
Yeah, he took part of mine, but anyway. I've been all my life hearing about socialist countries like the USSR and Cuba and Russia, China, and now Venezuela. But they all got one thing in common. You know, they're going to take your taxes. They're going to take 70% of your taxes, but you got to buy a permit just to work. And then that means you're going to get about 30% of your money. Then you got to save part of that money just to buy another permit to work again, you know. But these people don't realize stuff like that, and they want this country to do that. They've had the freedom. They get more money now than they've ever had. And, but Biden, now if he gets in there, I agree with this other fellow. They're probably going to put Hillary running for vice president, and then he won't be running the country. She'll be running it, you know.
Okay. Well, Norman, thank you very much. I appreciate that perspective. And I say this with all respect. I hope you are both wrong. Well, first of all, I hope that Joe Biden does not get elected because, frankly, in addition to the fact that I think the man is ideologically off, I just think he's kind of mentally off. I really do. It's going to be interesting to see what happens as he climbs, if he does climb, in delegate count, and more attention is paid to him by the press, even than now as the field narrows, he'll get more attention. It'll be interesting to see whether he can handle it or whether it's going to expose some mental deficits that are there. And if that's the case, then I would hope the American people, even staunch Democrats, wouldn't want to elect somebody who they felt was not ready to take on the enormous responsibility of that office. And by the way, folks, you know, I've had people say to me in complimentary fashion, obviously, I never took it seriously, you know, you ought to run for president. You know, and I was thinking about that one day and thinking to myself, you know, I'm hardly qualified to be president. But then I thought, you know, nobody is. It is such an enormous task that the person who really thinks they're fully qualified for it is probably not qualified for it. But you do have people like Donald Trump, who is a brilliant leader and assembles people around him to get the job done. I just don't see that in Joe Biden at all. So, folks, I just hope that we don't even have to face that possibility. Let's go to Ruby in Mississippi. Ruby, welcome.
Hello, how are you? I told your screener the first caller stole my thunder. I agree 100%. There is no way that anybody is going to beat Joe Biden for the Democrats. And there is something wrong with this gentleman. There is, and I'm not saying it to be ugly or mean.
Right.
I'm saying it because of age. Age does it to us. They will want him elected. He won't run a whole lot of stuff, but they will have. See, that'd be a good movie if someone would write one, because they are after the power. And I'm fixing to hang up. I'm fixing to hang up, my friend. Heard a sermon from you Sunday. You can preach, my friend. Thank you. You have a blessed day.
Well, thank you, Ruby. I appreciate that little side commercial for my preaching. But listen, folks, I do this during the day, but I am a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I consider that my first and foremost gifting. So thank you, Ruby, for encouraging me in that. Marlo of, let's go to Marlo. Marlo in Arkansas. Marlo, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop, for taking my call. Yeah, I just need some information. I was listening to Mickey and Will Addison, and they were talking about George Lilcox. Is that his name? Wilcox or Lilcox?
Okay.
You know, you know his last name?
I'm not sure who they're referring to, no.
Oh, man. Well, maybe I can get a hold of them when they come on today. I'm sorry to bother you. I just wanted to...
Well, no. that's okay.
Hey, I appreciate what you're doing, brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. And listen, we've got a crack. We got a crack research staff here. So I'm sure that that answer will be coming to me probably before the program is over. Who knows?
But thank you, buddy.
Thank you, Marlo. Okay, let's go to our next caller. We've got Miller in Louisiana. Miller, welcome.
Hey, Greg. About 2 weeks ago, I was listening to you, and there was a fellow that called up complaining that he was a Christian, and we were talking down about Republicans and the impeachment and everything else. And I just wanted to pass this on to all of the believers, followers of Christ that are listening to you, to your program, that we need to stand firm and we need to help share this with these people in the Democratic Party that complain that profess to be Christians. It's not, you know, Democrats or Republicans, but that the Democratic Party stands for abortion and for homosexuality and promoting all those things. And Jesus Christ, who we claim to follow, who they claim to follow, would never stand and support those things. And the Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. Mm-hmm. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. And you can't be new and keep going down this wrong road the next chapter. And 2 Corinthians 6:14 says that believers are not to be unequally yoked.
All right. All right. We've got you. Miller, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate that. Folks, look, let me just end on this point. At some point, you have to decide who you are and what you stand for. Think about this. If your identity is in your ethnicity, if that's where it is, that's a pretty superficial identity, isn't it? Because your identity has got to be based on something deeper than that. It's got to be based on your character. It's got to be based on your principles. It's got to be based on your values. It's got to be based on your relationship with God. And this idea of identity politics is a Marxist idea, because remember, for Marx, the identity was the workers versus the bourgeoisie. But it's the same principle. It's just being played out in a different way here in the modern American culture, because the left, which is represented by the Democrat Party, has decided that class warfare won't work, but racial conflict, gender conflict, religious conflict will. And so they're playing the Marxist playbook. They're just using a different set of pieces. And the only way we're susceptible to that is if we buy into the identity politics. You see, look, the Bible calls God the Father of spirits. So ultimately, folks, ultimately, in the ultimate sense, please don't misunderstand me. I know that I have physical being in this world, but ultimately, I am not a black man. Ultimately, I'm a child of the living God. Ultimately, I am spirit. Ultimately, my Father is God himself, and my Savior is Jesus Christ. And that transcends all notions of genetic, biological, and national origins. That's why I always say, folks, I'm not an African American. I'm an American. And I believe that because I believe that God, of all the places he could have chosen for me to live and be born, he chose here. So, folks, Just remember, as Christians, who we are. We are one body in Christ. So God bless each and every one of you. And remember, because of who we are, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.